Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. Coming up, the ring barge for Harmonious has found its home in World Showcase, and it's generating a lot of hot takes. An update has been made to face masks while dining at Walt Disney World, and the Flower and Garden Festival starts tomorrow. All this and more on this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged. I am your host today, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by some good friends. We have Dreams Unlimited travel agent Susan Kelly.
Hi, everyone.
We have Jackie Gailey.
Hi, guys.
And last but not least, certainly, Rhino.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm glad everyone could be here tuning in. We have a lot of fun discussion to come. But before we do that, I have to, of course, get to all of those important things that we mention each week right at the top. And first off, if you enjoy our show, you want to support us, you like us and say, hey, I want to see more and more of this, despite how much I dislike certain aspects of it, consider using Dreams Unlimited Travel to help plan your next Walt Disney World vacation, Universal Orlandocation, or upcoming in the future, a Disney Cruise Line vacation, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney. You know all the products that the Dreams Unlimited Travel agents sell. And by using Dreams Unlimited Travel, you are then directly supporting the Diz. That's how we are able to keep making this hilarious content, if I do say so myself. It's all because of Dreams Unlimited Travel. So you can get extra information by going to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and you can get that free no obligation quote and start working with an agent today, because as Sue can attest, they are literally there to just help you have the best vacation, whether you want to go all out extravagant, spend more money than you ever have in your life, or if you want the best price possible, the agents will look out for that and make sure that you do have the lowest price possible. So please, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And I'm sure we'll talk to Susan a little bit more later about that too. And then, of course, if you are currently watching this on YouTube, hello to everyone joining us. Hello to the live chat. If you're catching this live, please make sure you hit that thumbs up for me right now. That will help make sure that this video gets suggested to more people out there. And then also please take a second to make sure that you are still subscribed to our channel or subscribed for the first time. That would also mean a whole heck of a lot to me. And we will talk to the audio people later on in this episode. We'll go over the rest of the details in a little bit, but that is all that I have. So we are going to get really starting in the show now. How's my panel doing? Is everyone doing great today?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Bam, okay. Yes. Good. We're bringing our A game today, I have a feeling. So I am very excited for this. Once again, just like when Denny hosts the show, she asked Jackie Gailey to read the news. So for our show today, I am once again going to ask Jackie to read the news. So Jackie, are you ready to take it away?
I am ready.
Okay, let's go.
So the top of the news story is not the large Harmonious ring structure moved into Epcot Lagoon. So as we reported last week, a portion of the central platform for the upcoming Harmonious Nighttime Spectacular was added to Epcot's World Showcase Lagoon. And Zach Ridley, who is a Disney Imagineer, is very active on his Instagram account. And oftentimes we get a peek at these types of things before Disney ever releases it. So it's kind of cool. And via his Instagram post, he shared some overnight pictures of the 6-story tall circular piece that was added to the central platform overnight. And he said, quote, "This centerpiece will support a high density water curtain, moving lights and fountains in a circular form that perfectly symbolizes our story of global connection through the reach of Disney music." So As previously announced, the Harmonious barges are going to be used as fountains during the daytime, and they'll serve as projection screens and show elements at night. No official date has been released regarding the debut of the new nighttime show. However, in his post, Ridley states that they're in the early stages of development with many more finishing details to come. So a lot of times when they say early stages, that kind of makes you wonder if there's a lot more to come, or like what exactly is coming and how much and how long is it going to take? I have questions.
Oh, yeah. So, I have definite questions, too. That's my first question. As you mentioned, the timeline on this thing, early stages, to me, that says exactly early stages. And I am very concerned with what this means for when we are finally going to see Harmonious. I know we're going to definitely see it sometime during the 50th anniversary celebrations, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it will make it for the start. And I know people have been, you know, people were hoping that it got moved in and ready for spring or even summer of 2021. And that is seeming impossible as every day goes by. I want to say the first barge came out and the first structure for Harmonious came out into the lagoon sometime around December. And then, if I remember correctly, on it was sometime around December. And then the next barge came out around the middle of January, right around Festival of the Arts when that started. And now we're at the end of February for the third piece. We still have two more pieces to go. And so let's say one gets added in March, one gets added in April, then we're really looking at, you know, probably a couple months of the show actually testing where it's at in the water. So, you know, it may be by October, maybe sooner, but it feels like they still have such a long way to go with it, but it's still coming along. So that's part of the excellent progress. And I know it's an eyesore. Yeah, they are still doing it. And I know it's an eyesore right now, but it's very early. Like, the barges are still sitting up high above water as they work on them. So from my understanding, the barges will lower down in the water, but the top that we see, like in terms of the Harmonious ring, all the portion that looks like there's pipes and stuff, that from what I understand, if I was told correctly, and someone can tell me if I'm completely wrong, but I do believe that all of those portions will submerge. So we'll only see from that, like that kind of walkway level up to the top of the ring. But I could be really wrong for that, and someone could just have been telling me misinformation on that. Either way, that doesn't make a big difference when all is said and done. Yeah. These things stick out like a sore thumb during the daytime. And what's everyone's thoughts on it?
Well do you guys remember? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. I was going to say, for me, I'm really excited about it. I also heard that during the day, it's going to be used for water fountains and everything. So it's not like you're going to be looking at this steel structure with nothing going on during the day. And I think for the nighttime show, it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah. And I'm all for fountains during the day. I love a good fountain. And that's, you know, who doesn't love a good fountain? They're exciting. They're fun. They look like a lot of water shooting into the air, but trying to figure out the best way to describe a fountain for those of you who haven't seen a fountain before.
For those who have never seen a fountain.
Yeah, they're few and far between in the world. I will say that.
Like when you spit water out of your mouth, only on a grander scale.
Thank you. Thank you, Rhino. Yes. That I feel like that painted the picture with it. But as long as they run as fountains all day, then I think I'll be more inclined to enjoy the aesthetic of it in World Showcase and looking around. But if they turn off an hour before the show starts at night, you know what? That's also fine. They've got to prep the show. It was like when Illuminations would have their barges sitting out in the middle for a little bit before the show started. It's all good. It's just during the daytime, if the fountains aren't running and those structures are out there, it's just going to look really ugly. And this has been like this has been now the debate in Disney fandom since the ring structure was put out, and even before, as soon as the first barges was put out, is that what, like, how does the general public anymore even feel about aesthetic choices, sight lines, visuals like this? Is it all just meaningless anymore, except for the extravagant Disney fans like some of us? Like, what is this really important? Or is the average person who comes through, are they going to care about this at all? How's everyone feel?
I mean, people, do you guys remember when they put the sky, when they started working on the Skyliner? So, like, to me, this is just my view about it. So artwork takes time, right? And when, you know, if you're working on something that takes a year and you're 2 months into it, it's not going to look the way it's going to look when it's done, obviously. So for me, I feel like, remember the Skyliners, remember how Disney fans all over the world lost their collective ever loving minds because of sight lines, mm-hmm. and it's going to look terrible and they're so ugly and look at those poles and on and on and on. And the bottom line is that they don't look ridiculous going over the France Pavilion in Epcot. They really truly don't. So I think that it's just what we're used to. And I think that people need to open their minds and just realize that, you know, Disney isn't going to make a finished product that looks ridiculous. And so I trust that the Imagineers that are working on this project have planned this out, and they have placed these large set pieces exactly where they want them on the lagoon so that they look a certain way. You know, I mean, that's what they do. That's their livelihood.
Like, you know what, though, Jackie? You said, I'll get Rhino in 1 second here. You said some things that are right, but you also then said that Disney wouldn't make anything purposely ugly. And I think there's many different iterations of that along the way. The 2000 that turned into the Epcot wand over top of Spaceship Earth, the Sorcerer Mickey's hat in front of Hollywood Studios for a lot of people. Disney has a pretty decent track record at putting in some some audacious looking things into their parks. But the Skyliner point that you made is a perfect example that, you know, when the Skyliner sight line started appearing behind World Showcase, it was, how could they ruin the look of this? It looks terrible. Then the Skyliner has a terrible shutdown for a couple hours and evacuations, and everyone just craps on it even further. And then once the Skyliner starts working pretty flawlessly for a long time, now all of a sudden it's the bee's knees and everyone loves it, doesn't care about the sight lines anymore. You know, it's sometimes these things just do take time. But someone pointed out the 25th anniversary Castle Cake tray there. So Disney does have a track record of not always being pretty in terms of what they come up with. It builds a lot of nostalgia into people. You know, there's people who love the Castle Cake and some of the less pretty design choices that have been made throughout the years, but that doesn't mean that they're pretty. It just means that we form weird attachments to stuff as Disney fans, and we are all guilty of that, but we all have that in common. Sorry, Rhino, I interrupted you a while back.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was just breathing before, but I did want to say that I want to believe that they have an artist rendering, some sort of three-dimensional computer rendering that they've like looked at to see what this will actually look like in a 3D modeled space, where they can say like, oh, this isn't going to look right. This isn't going to go well, or something like that. Like, you know, we've all seen the video of the dish. Is that what it's called at Imagineering? The room that they use now to like three dimensionally walk through space. Like, I have to believe that they would have done something similar with this as well. But that doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes because of that, because obviously if you look at Toy Story Land in Florida, when you build a land inside of an air conditioned building with no source of heat over you at all, you build it so it melts when it opens because you didn't realize how hot it was in Central Florida most of the time. So it's like, I want to believe it's going to be okay. Like, it definitely, I didn't know any of it was going to submerge. That's new information to me, because that helps me a little bit. And I don't know. I guess I just have to kind of see the fountains take effect, because right now it does just look like a lot of scaffolding in the Stargate entryway is sitting in the center of Epcot. So I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm also not a purist in saying that nothing can sit out there, because a giant ball that opened up, you know, used to come out there just for night, I realize, but I don't know. It's, yeah. I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't feel like I'm ready yet to snap judgment. I don't know.
I just want to make sure we know too, the entire structures will not submerge down. This is just part of the structures,
right, yeah,
that are still above water. Kind of like when World of Color is, you know, World of Color is able to be hidden underneath the entire lagoon that they have there in California Adventure. They're all able to be down, but if they need to do work on it, then they're able to come up out of the water. So just from my understanding with it, this is the exact same way, that parts of this will be able to be underwater, but if it needs to be above water, then it's also able to be up there. And of course, they were originally supposed to add back in behind where they Equatorial Africa, they were supposed to have an extra big lagoon area to house everything and then bring them out at night, but that project got canceled, or they found that it was too hard to move them once they got them there. I'm still not sure, because I've read like three different things on it, but either way, they're out there. It's just one of those things where we'll move on to our next topic pretty quickly here, but it just feels like we are closely getting to a point where Walt Disney World, I feel like it's like we kind of went with it and are off the rails. It feels like they're officially giving up on a lot of things, as long as it makes their promise of adding more intellectual properties that people know and love, allows to sell more merch, more food. As long as that's okay and people are happy, they're okay with getting rid of these different things. But is that overall killing the entire vibe of Walt Disney World, that people, why they went there in the first place? Because it was clean. They did pay attention to the extra details. The cast members went to the next level by going above and beyond. Are all those details starting to slowly get chipped away? And whether it's because of the pandemic or just because companies have to move on and they have to change and adapt with the times, I'm not sure. But anyone have any last minute thoughts on it?
Bueller? No.
Okay. Well, the good news is it looks like Mr. 1980s stop motion is back. His internet's working again.
I don't know what's going on. I can't. I work with the equipment I'm given. That's all I can do. So
hey, we could hear you every step of the way. We just couldn't really see you well. But it's okay.
That's my aesthetic, and that's what I choose to be.
Okay. That's fine.
There you go. So,
okay. Jackie, let's move on to our next news story.
We're going to embrace that. Okay, so the next story, Disney World updates policy for face coverings in restaurants. Now, they did not announce this, but it just sort of was updated all of a sudden on their site. And they've updated the verbiage that they used for their face covering policy for guests visiting their dining locations. And it now states that face coverings can only be removed while actively eating or drinking. Face coverings must be worn while standing, waiting, or sitting in dining locations. So the part about actively eating or drinking has always been there. But that second part, that they must be worn while standing, waiting, or sitting in dining locations, is the new part. So it shifts away from the initial policy that just said that they could be removed while you were seated while eating or drinking. So it kind of leads one to think that they must now, even when you're seated at a table, you have to wear a face covering if not eating or drinking at that moment. So we are still in the process of working on getting to have that actual experience so that we can experience ourselves. But what I'm seeing on social media is it's been different at different restaurants, and different people are having different experiences. So it's just going to be one of those things that, you know, we just like to make people aware of things. So
I know that a lot of people don't like when we get too heavy into masks and distancing and all the protocols in place. And hopefully,
God forbid we live here.
Hopefully, if the world keeps going in the direction it's going in, we are not going to have to worry about this for years and years and years. Hopefully only maybe 2 years, maybe less. I don't know. I'm not even going to start predicting that stuff. But the thing is, this should have been something that was a policy from the beginning. It's something that should have been practiced like right from the start with indoor dining in particular. You know, outdoor dining, you're spaced apart, and we all know everything we know now about COVID and a lot of safety precautions with it and such. But really, for indoor dining, just to be polite to the servers and the other people in the restaurant, if you're not eating or drinking, you really shouldn't have just been sitting there without your mask anyways. It's one of those things. If you're not eating or drinking, why do you, like, it's, I get that it felt like a place where you can definitely get a break from having your mask on is by doing that. But overall, it's part of what we've learned through this time too, is that it can't be all about what we want, but what's also best for those around us. And, you know, it's, I might not know the person to my left, but I should treat them with the same respect that I would hope that they would treat me with. And so it's, feels like it's one of those situations where Disney had to put in place this policy, but it's something that should have just been happening naturally since the beginning. And you know what? I'm not always in the right, because sometimes, I mean, if you watch us on the Disney Dining Channel, I will sit down with my food and I will do my review without my mask on as I'm sitting there eating. And so technically, I'm doing something that is, you know, it borders right on that line of potentially not being okay. I probably should put my mask on in between all the different bites as well, too. But, and that's something that I need to think about moving forward. But it really is, again, it's something that just, it's something that we should have all been doing since the very beginning. But
I think it's a big thing for the servers, right? Because you take it off when you were sitting down, you know, and if they come up to you or something like that, it's like it's, you know, even though it's been a year, it is still hard because, you know, however long you were on this planet before this, you didn't have to do this sort of a thing with, you know, putting something on and off again. And I've stood up from a table before and started to walk away and been like, oh my God, I left my mask over here or whatever. But I don't eat indoors, and I don't really eat out anywhere except for this one place in Orlando that essentially is like one table outside, and then there's like no others around. So I'm like, okay, I've got my space and it's fine. And, but like, even that, whenever the server comes out, I put my mask on, but I'm just like, I watch her as she goes like inside other tables. I'm like, oh, nobody else is like putting their mask on inside for her or anything like that. So it's, you know, I think it's good. But I don't know.
Disney has to put it in writing, because there's people that don't do it, and they want to push it, and they want to see what they can get away with. And so Disney has to cover themselves and put it in writing so that before people get there, they are very fully aware that it doesn't matter what they think about wearing face masks. If you come to Disney World, this is our rule, and this is what you have to do if you're here. So, I mean, it's, you know, It's we're not done with COVID. It's going to be a while.
Yeah. I agree. And for me, up here in Massachusetts, we're a little bit behind like other states, especially Florida. I know Florida, the state of Florida, is pretty much open. I know Disney has all their restrictions. Universal has all their restrictions as well. We're slowly opening up here in Massachusetts. And I actually went to a restaurant for the first time since the summer on Friday. My sister took me for my birthday. And I kept my mask on the whole time until the food came. And that was out of respect for the people around me. And we were very well spaced, but also for the waitress, because they do get sort of close to you. So I have no issues whatsoever wearing a mask, wearing it in a restaurant, wear it in public, wherever.
That's, you know, it's just everywhere is different. But ultimately, I think it's just best to, you know, just think about the
follow the rules.
Yeah, follow the rules. And you know, even if you don't agree with them, just think about other people. Think about, say, hey, this is my one act of kindness for the day. I am following a rule that maybe will make someone else around me feel a little bit more comfortable and happy, because we've all gone through different journeys over the past year that we're basically at now. And we don't know how that person next to us did. Maybe they had COVID at some time. Maybe they lost someone from it. Maybe they've just been crippled with anxiety over it, and it's a big step for them to finally get back to their happy place. And you don't know what the person next to you is going through. So it's just let's just follow the rules, be happy, and one day we're going to look back on this, and hopefully we're just going to be like, wow, that was a time.
That's the thing. Like, it's so my husband has heart issues, and his cardiologist just told him, I don't want you going anywhere. Nowhere. Not running into the grocery store, not going any public places. And so, like, when you look at my husband, you would not ever think that he had one single health issue, but he does. And it's tough. And, you know, we all learned in kindergarten. I know you guys have all seen that poem that everything we needed to know, we learned in kindergarten, right? There's always going to be rules that we don't want to follow. But most of the time, it's because maybe we don't understand why the rule is in place. But the bottom line is that it doesn't matter. If there's a rule at a place that you're at, you need to follow it. And that's really all there is to it. You know, I used to tell my kids, that's the breaks when you're five. So that's the breaks when you're over 18. You choose to go somewhere, you have to follow the rules when you're there. Yep. It's all. It's very simple, really.
Yes.
Yep. Anyway. You were right on the money, Jackie. So take us into the last news story, please.
Okay. So the last news story we have for today is from the West Coast. And the Disneyland Resort is having a Touch of Disney, which is a special event. It's a hard ticket event, and it's going to be starting later this month. It's going to be at Disney California Adventure, and it's going to go from March 18th through April 5th, Thursdays through Mondays, from noon until 8 p.m., and they are not going to have any attractions open, but it's going to be food and shopping. And what they're doing is, let's see, I'm skipping around because I'm kind of combining two news stories into one here. So some of the most iconic beverages and food items from both Disneyland Park and Disney California Adventure Park are going to be available for guests during the event, including Dole Whips, Blue Bayou's Monte Cristo sandwich, and churros. And the bites are going to be snack-sized versions of the originals, and they'll be available for purchase throughout Disney California Adventure. And yesterday, I published the foodie guide for this event, and you guys will not believe your eyes. I honestly think it's the biggest foodie guide I've ever seen Disney publish. So there is so much food. And here's the thing about it. So the event is $75 a person. It includes admission. It includes parking in the Mickey and Friends parking structure. It also includes unlimited Disney Photo Pass downloads and a $25 A Touch of Disney dining card that you can use toward the purchase of non-alcoholic beverages as well as food. So essentially, Disneyland charges to park in their parking structure. I think it's about $10. And then you get this $25 gift card that you can use for food and non-alcoholic beverages. So essentially, you're paying about $40 to get into the park and go around and just be. So it's I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool that they're able to open the park to some extent. I mean, obviously there's not going to be any attractions open, but you know, we know Disney and we know how sometimes they have hidden magic that they're not going to share until the day it opens. So, you never know what's going to happen. And, let's see. I wanted to tell you guys when tickets go on sale on Friday, March 4th, and tickets have to be purchased online ahead of time. So there won't be any tickets for sale the day of. So you can't just show up and go to this event. You have to purchase the tickets online, and we'll have more information and updates on Friday once that is, you know, once you can purchase tickets.
I've got to ask, you said Friday, March 4th. Is it Friday, March 5th or Thursday, March 4th?
Oh, yeah. That's a question. I bet I had 2022 pulled up for a different reason. I'm going to check on that.
Okay.
I was just kidding about that date part.
That's okay. Just wanted to make sure that we are giving out as close to possible accurate information as we can. I think this event sounds really cool. I mean, let's not beat around the bush on it. We want Disneyland to open up, and this event feels like classic Disney in that we're going to charge you $75, like Jackie broke down. Basically, once you take out parking and the $25 gift card you get, it's like you get to come inside of Disney California Adventure for $40, and then you're going to end up walking out spending probably an extra $200 if you have restraint. Which I don't know how many of us out there do have restraint, especially when we want to get back into Disney California Adventure and hopefully Disneyland soon. I mean, people are going to just go spend crazy. So, $25 gift card, that'll get you a lot, but it's not going to get you all of the way there once you throw in merchandise. I mean,
alcohol either.
I know myself, if I got inside DCA, I'm going to end up having probably 3 beers right there at whatever it is, $12 a pop. And so right there, I'm up an extra almost $40, and it's just going to go on further from there. I mean, you go to, it's just some of these places, the food looks so good that, you know, it's just food that we haven't been able to have for so long. Like, I want lobster nachos. I'm not going out to California anytime soon, but it's like this event, it took them a long time while other places in California were trying to figure out methods. It took Disneyland a long time to come up with it. But I personally, looking at it, it's something that if I was in California, I'd be all there about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy they could.
No, I was going to say, I personally would pay the $75 just to walk into the park and sit there all day because I miss, you know, you miss Disney so much. People are missing Disneyland, California Adventure. It was the same before Disney World opened. If Disney World told me I could go, but I can only sit on the bench the entire day, I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's nice to just that they were able to bring cast members back to work for this sort of thing too. So it's nice that you can get out of the house, hopefully do it somewhere that's safety and where the rules are enforced. And then obviously then you are getting so many more people back from furlough. So hopefully it all goes well and safely and all that sort of stuff. And I'm just going to drool over every photo of all the food items that people keep posting. So.
Yeah, they look pretty amazing. And they're going to even have merchandise too. There's going to be special merch for this, and you know it's going to be good. I was like, I wonder if we could like rent a bus and start driving across the country now, you know, so that maybe we could, you know, avoid the whole flying thing and just sort of get there like that. So one other thing I forgot to mention that I want to make sure I tell people. Okay, so first of all, it is Thursday, March 4th, that tickets go on sale. So good. Not Friday, Thursday. I apologize for that error. And then they are also going to add a couple of new features into the Disneyland app that'll help guests that are there minimize their contact with other people. So they're going to do mobile check-in and mobile walk-up, which so like if you have a confirmed, they're going to require reservations at Lamplight Lounge and Carthay Circle Lounge. Those will both be open though, which is really cool. So the Carthay Circle Lounge is going to be open for al fresco dining. And if you do the mobile check-in, you'll get a notification when your check-in window arrives. So, and then you can just scan your QR code at the restaurant's entrance instead of going up to the host stand. So kind of cool. And then the mobile walk-up for the Carthay Circle Lounge al fresco dining is also going to be on the Disney mobile app. So you have to go in and look for walk-up availability. So, but you can check estimated wait times and look for reservations that might be available later in the day. So they're making it real handy for people to do that too, without having to actually go up and physically talk to somebody.
Yep.
That's really cool.
You know what? They have had so much time to get this right that I would not expect anything less of close to perfection. I'm not going to say perfection, but they've been working at this so long that they should be able to figure out everything that they need to do to make it the best event possible. And I think it'll probably end up being a pretty wildly successful event for them until they are able to open back up the way that they want to eventually open up when California says it's okay for it. But it's just another good step in the direction for California and hopefully one day for all of us getting back into Disneyland. So Jackie, thank you so much for reading the news.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. So we are now going to move into our housekeeping section real quick here. So I'm going to go ahead and just force Susan into housekeeping first by talking a little bit about herself. It's been a while since people have seen her on the Diz Unplugged YouTube channel here. So Susan, who are you and why are you important?
Hi. So I've been in the travel industry for 31 years now. I started as a regular travel agent, frontline, storefront, and everything. I've been with Dreams for 8 years. And Disney fanatic, love Disney, grew up on Disney. It's in my heart, in my blood. And I love traveling to Disney World and everything. I do sell Disney World, Universal, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney's. By Disney. And I also do various cruise lines like Royal Caribbean and NCL and stuff like that. And I just love being an agent with Dreams. It's been great.
Yeah, no, you are a fantastic agent, like all the agents. But
thank you.
Susan, how can people get in touch with you directly if they want to book a vacation with you?
So if they want to book a vacation with me, or if you want to send me an email to inquire about a vacation, my email address is susan@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. So you can just email me right there.
Excellent. And do you have anything else to plug in housekeeping right now?
Not at this point.
Okay. Then I will open it up to Stop Motion Rhino or Jackie for housekeeping.
Is this the part where we talk about things for 5 minutes?
No, this is where, Rhino, you should probably mention Patreon.
Oh, Patreon? Okay, I don't know anymore. So, I am so thrown off by my computer right now. You do not understand what is happening internally with my anxiety. But for those of you, I know Craig has mentioned at the top of the show, we mention it in every video we do about booking with Dreams and how you can help support us. If you are not planning a vacation or anything like that, and you do feel like you do want to help us or support us in some way, Patreon is probably one of the best places where you can go and do that. Because not only can you choose how much you can support us by, there's different tiers that will give you access to like behind the scenes content, exclusive content, Every now and then we'll do some like live I've done like a happy hour on there before. We've done like a viewing of some stuff on there before, and we try to mix it up all the time just based on the feedback that we get. But it's like a nice little, we built up, I feel like, a nice little community of people in there. So you can check that out at patreon.com/disunplugged. And I mean, if you join now, it can be monthly, it can be a one-time donation, it can be whatever you want to do. But at this point, whatever tier you choose, you basically have access to about 4 years of a backed catalog of Patreon now at this point. So you can go all the way back if you want.
Yeah. I mean, that includes all of the different content that we started and then just kind of ran out of steam on with some of our stuff. It involves a lot of wacky things. If you've been enjoying our off the rails shows that we currently have, we posted the unaired pilot on there recently that is like 18 minutes of pure nonsense, and it's fun to watch, I think, at least. So we have lots of random different content on our Patreon, and we're always trying to come up with more fresh content as well too. So if you are one of our Patreon supporters out there, please always, you know, shoot us a message and let us know what you expect from it or what you would want to see from it, because we want to make sure that sure that we reward the support that you're giving us too. It's why we don't just ask for donations. We want to make sure that you're getting something out of it.
Exactly.
It's worthwhile. So anything else, Ryan?
No, you put it into better words than I ever could right there. So I appreciate that.
Cool beans. Jackie, what do you got?
So just real quick, want to mention that Magic Candle Company is still offering free shipping on all orders. So if you have not taken advantage of trying out some of the amazing scents that Magic Candle Company has made, I would recommend that you do that and take advantage of that free shipping. So their lowest shipping charge is usually $8.95. So it's a nice little chunk of money that you'll save by ordering while they've still got the free shipping going. So right now I've got H2O burning behind me and I'm loving it. So I love the H2O bath products. And so this is really cool to have the scent of those filling my office today.
Jackie, given it that McDonald's endorsement right there, that's pretty high praise. So, well, thank you, Jackie. I just want to make sure that I cover some of the other stuff I didn't cover at the beginning of the show with plugs. Of course, we have all of our other YouTube channels that we have, the Disney Dining YouTube channel and the Diz YouTube channel where all of our in-park vlogs live, Dreams Unlimited Travel, DVC fan, DCL fan. I'm sure there's more that are just not all coming to me right now. But if you want to find our other content, you miss dining reviews on the Diz, that's because they're not here anymore. They're over on our Disney Dining YouTube channel. So you need to navigate over there, and you can do that by the homepage of our Diz Unplugged YouTube. And then also for all the audio podcast listeners out there, please keep leaving feedback on all of the different shows on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way I can actually gauge your reaction, since you don't comment on YouTube and no one ever just listens to a podcast and says, I'll go to YouTube and add an extra step to it. So please leave those ratings and reviews in Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen through, so that way I can get all of that information and start to ingest it and start to help make changes wherever I can with the tiny little bit of power and authority that I do not really have, but will pretend like I have. And yeah, that's all I think I mainly have for housekeeping. So we are going to move on to our next portion, and that's where we just get to talk about whatever we want to talk about for a couple minutes here, each of us. So who would like to go first?
I'll go first. I have. Oh, okay. Okay.
So something that I'm looking forward to for Disney, one of the big attractions is Ratatouille opening up in the France Pavilion. I think I can't wait. It sounds like an amazing ride. I was doing a podcast on for the Dreams with Kevin and John, and Kevin was telling me that it was his favorite ride and everything when he went to Disneyland for Paris and everything. So I'm really excited about that. And for me, that's something I'm really looking forward to. And I'm hoping it's opening soon, too. I think they're getting close.
Yeah, it's everyone's hoping. That's all I can say. Yeah, no idea. I feel like it's still a little ways out. Definitely summer, but one day we will ride on a rat around a restaurant, and it will be fun.
Oh my gosh! And you will enjoy it.
Yes, a lot of people will enjoy it. Some people won't enjoy it, and you know what? That's okay.
That is okay. Yep,
we're all allowed to have our own opinions about things. So, well, thank you, Susan. Does anyone else have any fun things to share? Rhino, I'm going to ask you to wait one more second.
Okay,
no, go ahead.
I don't know if people knew about this or we talked about it or whatever, but at Animal Kingdom right now, they're doing some special stuff for annual pass holders in Dinoland specifically. You can go over there and you can get a magnet. There's like a secret menu for drinks, and there is a special with the games. So the magnet is the Donald magnet with the B that I think was from Flower and Garden last year that I'm assuming they just had like a ton of extra.
Correct.
So you can go. So even if you already got it then, I think you can still go get another one if you want one. But they're passing those out at the Boneyard area. And then if you go into Dinoland USA and you want to play some of those games to win some of these plushes, like you see the not Nick. I can't do this backwards. The Triceratops and the Iguanodon right there. You could win those over there. It's $5 a game to play, but if you're an annual pass holder and you do 15, so three games, you can then go into the Chester and Hester gift shop area and you get a free plush, which is a retired plush. I guess the game plushes used to be like animal plushes or whatever. So I went to do it because I was like, well, I'm gonna try and win. That's a small Iguanodon. I want the large Iguanodon, and I want the raptor I still don't have. But the plush was this like really big stuffed snake that was one of those things. I don't know what it's called, but where you know where it's got the like pillows and blankets where you like rub it and it's one color and then you rub it the other way and it changes color?
Yes.
I don't know what that's called with the little things on it, whatever. Anyway, it was one of those. So it was weird where I was like, this is stupid. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know. This plush was probably like $30 when it first came out or whatever. So my nephew's getting a giant plush of a snake that I'm sending to him in a box. So hopefully he enjoys that. But I thought that was a pretty good deal because if you're going to play and if you play the basketball one and you've got somebody in your group that's a good shot, there's a good chance you only have to get one hoop in out of three to win one of the plushes. So it's I feel like it's a pretty great deal right now. And then I didn't try any of the drinks though. There's apparently four alcoholic beverages, I believe, and you can get at Restaurantosaurus that are part of like a secret menu that are all for annual pass holders over there as well. So but I thought it was fun that they're doing some stuff again. I don't know why, just for random reasons. So
yeah, I mean, it's annual pass holders are not always at the top of the list in terms of people that Disney is really catering to. I think that's a fair assessment. And whether or not we're supposed to be catered to, I think that's a different argument that that a lot of people would say no to. But you know what? It's nice to feel like we're getting something a little extra every now and then. But I don't know.
I think it's important that we also like don't focus on how much it costs Disney to give us those extra things too, because that. When you focus on that little part of it, it kind of takes away from the thing, you know? And I find I'm seeing a lot online that people are focusing on the fact that the magnets are from last year. But if you didn't get one, or if you want a second one, then who cares?
Yep. Right? I never got mine.
I don't know.
So I'll eventually make it over.
I didn't think I don't think I got mine either. I realized I thought I had because I had seen it before. But then when I went to put it on my refrigerator, I was like, no, I don't see it. So I guess I didn't have it.
Don't have that one. Yeah.
It's neat. Neat. Jackie, do you got anything Disney-ish in your life right now?
No, nothing at all. What's
okay,
Disney?
We'll move on then.
No, I'm just kidding. I know. No, so you know what I'm looking forward to this year? And I'm not sure that I'm going to go to the park to do it, but at the Flower and Garden Festival, they've got their new garden graze. And it's similar to what they've done in the past, where you take your little festival passport and you buy five different things or five of the same things out of the ones that are available for the garden graze, and you get it stamped each time. And then you present it at a certain location for a prize at the end. And usually this has to do with all kinds of sweets. And so this year they have chosen items that are all vegetarian, which is really cool. And there's a big variety of them. So I think it's really fun that they sort of changed that up a little bit, and I'm looking forward to it. So whether I go there myself or one of you guys does it, I'm just looking forward to hearing about it and how people like it. Cause I think it's pretty cool that they're doing that.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I guess that's a good segue into our final portion of today. And that was talking about a taste of Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, which officially kicks off tomorrow and March 3rd, for those of you not watching this or listening to it today. But and then it will run through July 5th, 2021 here at Epcot, and very exciting. Of course, it's going to feature all of the normal aspects of the Flower and Garden Festival. There's going to be tons and tons of outdoor kitchens placed all around Epcot, serving up that delicious looking food. And that's not hyperbole. A lot of the dishes this year that Disney has promoted in terms of their photos that they've shared, it actually looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. Really good.
I'm very excited. Yeah.
And, you know, it always looks different once it's on the plate. And that's why you can't just assume it's going to look directly like that. But, you know, it's always close enough that it's pretty, you can make good assessments when you see the Disney photos from it. But besides that, of course, the park looks better than it does any other time of the year, with topiaries, all of the beautiful, beautiful foliage and flowers, and just the color that pops around the park by having all of these extra garden areas around it. It makes it so amazing. And then, of course, there's always merchandise. So there's going to be more merchandise than anyone needs to buy. And if you don't buy it now, then maybe it'll end up at the character outlet one day, and you can get it for the price that it's actually probably worth. But finally, too, then we are getting extra festival entertainment back. So a big step for Epcot this year that they will be featuring city beautiful bands, local bands from Orlando that will perform on Sundays, Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And that's exciting because, you know what? It's not that I'm tired of just the Jammeters, whatever form they're in, or the Voices of Liberty or Mariachi Cobra. It's not that I'm tired of any of those, but it's time to get some extra life back in the parks with entertainment. And while it's not bringing back necessarily cast members that were here performing before that can just be jumped in, that was never the case for the festivals, bringing in, you know, either cover bands or bringing in bands that are a little bit past their heyday that still want to play in a place, though. Like it's always been outside. So it's nice that we're getting music back in a bigger way. And whether or not I care for some of the bands that are going to be performing, I will still enjoy that there's more music and entertainment added back into the parks. I think it's just going to add to this event even more. I'm pretty excited about it. Who else is? Even if you're not going, are you excited? As a joke. Can't be excited.
No, I am.
I'm excited to watch other people eat food when I won't be there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be there either until I'm vaccinated, because for me to get to Florida requires an airplane, and And my husband's high risk, I'm high risk, so the vaccination needs to be in place. So this year for the flower and garden, it's going to be a no-go for me, but just looking at the pictures and postings and everything, I'm so excited, and I can't wait to see everything. Because some of the official photographs that they put up the food is absolutely beautiful. And I just can't wait to see everybody, you know, between Facebook and Instagram and everything, posting things. But like Rhino, unfortunately, this year for the flower and garden is not going to be in the cards for me. But next year it will. So I'm all ready for next year.
I'll eat for you, Susan.
Thank you.
I'll do it for you. Your belly is going to be eating tomorrow. What are you going to be eating?
Oh, the Trello, oh my gosh, what is it called? The plant, the Impossible Burger, or Impossible Burger, Impossible Meat booth. I want to try the Korean short rib. I'm looking forward to that very much. That looks really good. There was a dish in Mexico as well that looks really good. Honestly, going through the food menu, I was like, everything looks really, really good. And I'm just, maybe it's because I don't get to go to restaurants really that much at all, that it's just like, oh, I can't wait right now. This looks like all this like new food to try in this one place where, again, you know, at least knowing that there are people around that can enforce some of these rules to make it a safe environment for everybody. It's like, okay, this could be fun. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be everybody who can go is going to want to go tomorrow, but you know.
Yeah, the first day of the festivals, the other two, the Festival of the Arts and I guess even going back, well, no, when Epcot reopened, it opened automatically with the festival that was going on, Food and Wine, and then the Festival of the Holidays. They were all busy, but not insanely busy to the point that they were completely unenjoyable, but busier. But people are excited. It's the return of an event that everyone knows and loves. I'm excited for the prehistoric garden at Future World West, which is imagine a life on Earth 65 million years ago with astounding plant life that's thrived since the age of dinosaurs. It sounds very much like the Jurassic Park section of Islands of Adventure, but you know what? Just sounds like all of that without rides, but just the foliage. And who doesn't love a good foliage? So, yeah, wow. You know, I'm excited to see the park beautied up a little bit more. It's with as great as food is all the time. I like walking around and just embracing the topiaries, even though they're always, you know, sometimes they add an extra topiary, but mostly the same topiaries we see every year. And you forget how much you enjoy them until they're gone at the end of the festival. So I'm pumped to be back in Epcot for what is easily the best, the prettiest festival, not necessarily the best, but the prettiest overall. And we
kind of got gypped.
What?
Yeah. We kind of got gypped last year.
Jackie, you do not say that word.
Yeah.
You did not say that word. I've been down that road. We'll explain to you off air why you don't say that, but just Jackie, stop talking. Okay. So where was I going with that? That's the perfect time for me to explain to you that we are going to be having a live stream on our Diz YouTube channel tomorrow, youtube.com/WDWinfo. I'm going to watch the weather because we are supposed to have thunderstorms and rain in Orlando tomorrow. So it's going to be a wet festival, but, we're still going to have the live stream and all that, even if I have to hold an umbrella or something over my head while we're doing it. I'm going to aim for probably 1-ish, just so that way I have some time before we start to get some food in my belly and start trying everything. But then we'll be live. I'll meet up with Rhino at times. Fiasco will be there as well, too, doing some extra stuff. So yeah, we're going to be out and about, and then probably look for our dining review video that we put out sometime either Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know. Depends on how many food dishes we try, how long it takes to edit, all that good stuff, but that'll be out later on. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So Okay. Anyone else have any last things to say before we wrap this show up?
Nope. I learned my lesson.
No. No, we're all good?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening and watching. I really hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Take care. Have a good week. Bye-bye.